I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Even a small fight with your spouse can have a long-term impact on you, and there are many people who hold a grudge against a friend or a family member, and they may hold on to it for a long time and don't realize how harmful it might be to their health. A new study shows the act of forgiveness can help from improving sleep, lowering cholesterol, reducing pain, blood pressure, anxiety, and stress. The study shows that we can learn a lot from forgiving people, especially when it comes to lowering our stress level and helping us deal with mental illness. The study's author is with us this hour, Dr. Lauren Toussaint, a professor of psychology at Luther College. Research that he's done on the effects of forgiveness on physical and mental health have been published in the Journal of Health Psychology. And we're talking about the health benefits that come from forgiving this hour of the show and even taking on things that may be almost impossible to forgive. We can go to the national level. We can go to what's going on with our friends, what's going on in our families. We've all been in this situation where you're carrying a grudge. And it's the last thing you think about before you go to sleep. And if you're lucky, you can make it through the night and not having woken up a couple times thinking about it again. And then you'll think about it again in the morning when you wake up. And by golly, it's just no way to live. We're going to welcome phone calls. If you found yourself in this situation, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. Professor Toussaint, thank you very much for being with us. Hi.
Hello. Yeah, it's great to be with you.
Very nice to have you here. You know, when I describe that feeling, I know that we've all felt this, where you're so mad about, you felt so wronged that it literally keeps you awake at night, and you wake up in a bad frame of mind, and you can't let it go at night, and you can feel it in your body.
Yeah, I think everybody's had that experience. You know, at Luther College, we have something called the Laboratory for the Investigation of Mind, Body, and Spirit. And the reason why I titled the lab that way is because I think these things are just so intimately interconnected that it's really hard to try and separate them and think about, what's going on, about things that you might be thinking about and how you might be offended. And to imagine that that's not affecting the way that you feel, both mentally and physically, is probably just too simple-minded. Mm.
Why is it our natural response? I'm wondering if this goes way back in our evolution. Our natural response to being treated unfairly or to being hurt is to get some kind of vengeance on the person who did the offending. Is that a natural response? And if so, why? And if so, why is it not a good response?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, and I think, you know, some of the research does suggest that it is a natural response. It's probably been selected for by evolutionary forces. It's, you know, when you think about revenge and its benefits, oftentimes when you're hurt, you want to, probably more than anything, you want to make sure that you're not hurt again in the future, and by seeking revenge, sometimes we're able to ensure that. In other words, someone does something that hurts you, and you do something that hurts them back, in hopes of teaching them that they should not hurt you again. And in reality, that oftentimes doesn't work, especially in the current day. You don't need to look far to find cycles of violence and issues with the revenge response, but I think it's a very basic instinct, and it's one that comes from a kind of natural tendency to want to protect yourself and to assert your position in some social hierarchy, and especially to establish your position of power. And to the extent that you can do all those things effectively, it might be a useful response, but the problem is that you go from being the one that was offended to now being the offender, and so you essentially double down on your hurt and pain personally. Uh-huh. Because you've now doubled up the wrongdoing. Hmm. So.
When you think of people on the national or international stage who have given us extraordinary examples of forgiveness. Who comes to mind?
You know, I think there's all kinds of what I would call heroic forgiveness and champions of forgiveness. And I think what comes readily to mind are folks like Desmond Tutu, who's been a champion for forgiveness for a long time, and some of the leadership in South Africa. Those are places that readily come into the conversation. But other lesser-known places, like leadership in the country that I visited about a decade ago now, Sierra Leone, places that have faced just enormous amounts of civil conflict and unrest, and yet they find ways to champion forgiveness and to hopefully move toward reconciliation. But I also look at these are places that people sometimes think are in the midst of modern day constant conflict and war and strife. But I also look to places like the U.S., where it wasn't just too long ago that President Bill Clinton provided forgiveness for the this happens to be timely for the attack by the Japanese that brought us into World War II. And so there are all kinds of really good examples. Other personal examples seem to roll through the news on almost a daily basis of people that have been involved in horrible violence that seem to, for reasons that really I don't know that I can fully understand, these people have the strength to be able to forgive. Another example would be the book that was written about Amish Grace in Pennsylvania, the Amish community that was affected so horribly by the school shooting tragedy there.
Mm-hmm.
So the examples abound.
Yeah, the church members, certainly that was striking to everybody. That trial is going on right now, right, who were killed in the church in Charleston, South Carolina, and the family members said they forgave this young guy. It was just sort of hard to take that in after such a horrendous act of violence, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that for many of us, myself included, certainly for many of us, it's difficult to even fathom how someone would have that kind of strength or that sort of character. I think that in some ways, we're awash in a culture of revenge and power, and the struggles for that we see play out on a daily basis. What we don't seem to have as much of is a culture of forgiveness, except in these really isolated pockets of our society. And so you look at folks like the Amish, and you look to some of these communities that have been affected, and their immediate response, as if there is no other option, is to forgive. And that's the way that I think most of us think about revenge, that the attempt is to just immediately set things right, either financially or in terms of military, kind of pound-for-pound return. But we just don't have that same access or contact with cultures that really prize forgiveness and make it not just a viable response, but the first response.
Yes. And when we talk about forgiveness, let's discuss that a little bit, because it's not clear-cut what it means. It doesn't necessarily mean, okay, all is forgiven, you're going to be my friend again, does it?
Oh, yeah, right. That's a really good, it's actually a very good place to start. What I found over the years is that one of the first objections that people have with forgiveness is that they think they're being asked to do something that we're really not asking them to do. And so your example is a really good one, that frequently people will say something like, well, it's not okay, this person really hurt me. And, I would say, well, I absolutely agree, that's not okay when people hurt you. But forgiveness is not really about saying that it's okay, and it certainly isn't a means to condone violence. But what it is really aimed at is the attempt to move on personally. And so you think about yourself as someone who's been hurt or has been victimized in some way. The last thing that you really want to do after having been hurt is to allow the person who hurt you to continue to hurt you for a number of years going forward. And yet that's exactly what you do when you hang on to those things. You continue to relive them. You continue to kind of nurse those feelings of vengeance and that desire for revenge. And every time you do that, you take a small little piece of your quality of life and you donate it over to the person that already hurt you. And so certainly forgiveness is about moving on and developing a healthy way of moving forward and living your life, despite the fact that your life is not perfect and that you've been hurt. You want to find a way to move forward. In some ways, the old adage, it goes something to the effect of the best revenge is a life well lived. And I think that is somewhat fitting when you think about forgiveness. The best thing that you can do is to try to put this behind you and try to find productive ways to move forward without being weighed down by that thing. So certainly, forgiveness is not intended to be any kind of condoning of violence or putting people in vulnerable positions or saying that people who are being systemically blocked from privileges that other people have, none of that is okay. But forgiveness is about finding a way emotionally to move forward and still live a healthy life.
Well, I'm sure everybody has instances, and they come to mind probably pretty immediately. I think of shows that we've done on bullying, and people can remember when that happened to them. It could be 40 years ago. It really comes to mind when you've been wronged. You've been wronged, and you feel mad about it, and you want revenge, or it stays in your head for a long time, sometimes for years and years and years. We're looking at the act of forgiveness and the effects of forgiveness on our physical and mental health this hour of the program. We'll learn some techniques of how to be a forgiving person as we continue. Our guest is Professor Lauren Toussaint, a professor of psychology at Luther College. Our phone number, if this resonates with you, we'd love to hear from you, is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network. You are listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, listeners supported. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and this is our year-end membership drive. If you have put off donating to WPR in 2016, now is your time to take action. If you've given or you're a sustainer, we ask you to make a special year-end gift. It just takes a few minutes, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello, John.
Hello, Kathleen. Well, last hour we heard from 13 of you, but more importantly, at least to me, 5 brand new members.
Excellent.
Last hour. We love that.
Yeah.
And this hour, there's an even better reason to pledge.
And what might that be, John?
Well, I'm so happy you asked.
I thought
Thank
you would
you
be.
Thank you so much for asking.
Yes, yes.
Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match.
Love those.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Up to $2,000. This generous match is from current members, including Barb in Burnett. I love alliteration. And it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs you love. So it's a good time to give. Right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I've been meaning to read this comment, and I want to just slip this in here right now. Anne from Green Bay wrote that WPR has been my constant companion and a friend in the true sense of the word for years. I'm constantly quoting some fascinating new piece of information I've heard on the radio to the point that my family jokes about this being my personal news feed. So, and this is the key part, here is a much overdue thank you. Strong work. So Anne's a brand new member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Why don't you be next? Because, well, it's a great thing to do, and right now your pledge is doubled. You know, WPR has been around for a long time, almost 100 years, because we're committed to quality. And since listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others. You're part of this quality that you hear every day on WPR. When you donate at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You've heard that expression, the gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a sustaining membership at WPR, because as a sustainer, your membership doesn't have an expiration date.
And that's because the monthly deductions from your bank account or the charges on your credit or debit card will automatically renew every year. So you can give the gift that keeps on giving by becoming a sustainer with a monthly gift in whatever amount. You choose WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
It's the season of giving. Do something extra when you give to WPR. Your donation always supports the programs you love. And right now, you can help those in need. Ask for one of the Food Bank thank you gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. Your gift will provide meals to people facing hunger in your area. Do two good things with your gift to WPR right now when you choose one of the Food Bank gifts at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Two good things at once, and that's a great thing to do in the next couple minutes. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you can choose, is the right amount.
Well, you know, when you became a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step. Now, step two. Become a financial supporter.
The step from listener to supporter is very easy. You just decide how much you'd like to give. $5 or $10 a month is a great starting point, and then you make the pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And right now it's 2-for-1 on pledges. It's Pledge One, Get One.
Oh, I forgot about that. How could I forget?
So, well, I'm here to remind you.
Thank you, John. It's good. It's a great hour to pledge.
Absolutely.
It's great.
After you make your pledge today, well, not only will you know that your pledge got doubled, but you'll feel good every time you turn on the radio because you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you helped make this station possible.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. Your pledge not only guarantees our future, it guarantees your future listening. Pledge now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. You'll feel good all year long.
Yeah, our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. For the rest of this hour, we're looking for $2,000, and you're going to help us get it. Your gift right now is so important because your pledge is doubled. You get to support the programs you rely on every day.
And if you have already given, thank you so much. If you haven't, the time is now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, these days it's easy to spend a dollar a day or even more on things that are part of your routine, like a cup of coffee, maybe your phone, or a commute to work.
Consider the news, the information, the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day, that comes out to $30 or $31 a month is just the right amount. Give a dollar a day right now. Here's how you do it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. So if you're giving a dollar a day, it's kind of like you're giving $2 a day.
Exactly.
Because somebody's going to match the dollar that you put in. So we have about $1,700 left to raise in the rest of this hour. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your support for WPR will go twice as far.
And we've got this triple threat hour going on. You give, it's double your money. You're helping us. And you're giving to a food bank. So all of that, it makes it a wonderful hour to pledge, seriously. So you can choose one of those food bank gifts when you give $5 or $10 or $20 a month. Just give. You know, that's the important thing. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you so much, John Munson. We're talking about forgiving this hour of the program. What it is, why it is that our instinct is to get revenge and not to forgive. And when you hold in all that revenge, what it does to your health. We have yet to talk about that, which we'll get to more in just a moment. Our guest is Professor Lauren Toussaint, a professor of psychology at Luther College. His research on the effects of forgiveness on physical and mental health, published in the Journal of Health Psychology. Our number for on air is 800-486-8655. And Greg is our first caller from Rockford. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Greg?
I'm fabulous.
Good.
Well, what happened to me is my dad was a business owner and a very rich man, and when I was 16, I played a lot of instruments, and I still do, and I wanted to go to Juilliard, and he wanted me to take over the business. So he disowned me back when I was 16.
Ooh.
We never really talked a lot. He gave the business to my stepbrother.
Mm.
And so I'm going to be 66 next year, and it was just this year I was able to forgive him through, I think, a brilliant therapist I was able to write a letter to him and be able to forgive him. He passed away in 94, so we never really had any kind of conversation before that.
Hmm.
So, but being able to forgive him and write that letter and get past that, it's not that I forget, I'm going to forget it, but I don't have that rage inside that I've had or the entitlement I've carried my entire life. So forgiveness for me was very powerful.
Oh, it's a powerful story to hear it on the radio here, Greg. Professor Sasson.
Yes.
What do you make of that story?
First of all, I want to thank Greg for sharing that because what I find often is that these are not easy things to talk about. And so it's always, it's very affirming to hear that his experience has been a good one. I'm very pleased to hear that he did some writing, and one of the things that we know about just journaling in general is that it's quite therapeutic and it has benefits for both mental and physical health. And so I think that's good when it's combined with a forgiveness goal that can be really effective and result in some good outcomes. And so it sounds like he did indeed have a good experience with a therapist that helped him through some of these issues. And I'm really pleased to hear his example includes a situation in which he was no longer able to be in touch with the person that hurt him. And oftentimes that's the case in life, is mm-hmm. that people that hurt us, they kind of come in and out of our lives, and for one reason or another, it's not always the case that you're able to sit down and talk with the person. And some people feel locked in what we might call unforgiveness or a state of chronic revenge or resentment because they can't get together with that person. They can't talk about it. And really, that's not a requirement. You can still forgive someone despite the fact that you might not be able to be in touch with them, or in the case of Greg here, someone has passed on, and you might still be struggling with some of the things that they did that hurt you, but you can still have success in finding forgiveness. So congratulations to him. And the one thing I would encourage is a watchful eye toward slippage, because it's easy sometimes to feel like you've forgiven, and then something reminds you of a really bad time, and it starts to make you feel a little less forgiving, and sometimes people worry that they're maybe not having the success that they did. But it sounds like he's really done a good job, and he just hopefully will remain committed and maintain a high level of forgiveness.
Mm. And maybe there's a lesson to be learned as people hear his story for parents and children as well, that that's hard to have happen to you when you're 16 years old and you know what you want to do, and to have your parent really force you into something that you know isn't who you are. There's a lesson to be learned for parents in what he had to say, I think.
Yes, certainly. We all know that, we've been talking about forgiving other people when we're hurt by things that they do. The flip side of that coin, of course, is forgiving yourself for the times that you hurt other people. And you can only imagine that, Greg's father and certainly parents all across the world have regrets about things that they may have done with their kids. And generally all of us have regrets about mistakes that we make and opportunities missed and, woulda, coulda, shoulda sort of situations.
Right.
And it's really important to think not only about forgiving people who have offended you, but also thinking about forgiving yourself for those times that you maybe made those mistakes that you're not
mm-hmm.
proud of.
Thank you so much for your call, Greg. Kathleen in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I would just like to comment on what your guest just said about forgiving yourself. That's wrapped up in what I have to say. I was married, and after I had my daughter, my husband became violent to the point where it was physically abusive. And it didn't take me too long to get out of the marriage and get out of the house because it was so clear that this change had come so profoundly. So I felt a little blessed in that way. But for years, I carried this anger and this why. I don't know anybody who resolves their problems through violence. I had a very sheltered, loving life. And so it took me a very long time to figure it out. And there was part blaming myself for my part in this. But I studied Waldorf education as part of turning my life around and going to be a teacher and finding out how we develop, that I became this person who accepted this and he was this person who delivered it. And I read a book on forgiveness, and it was the tiniest little book, and it was simply called Forgiveness, and it was a Waldorf education book, or Waldorf book. And it went beyond forgiveness in this tiny little book to gratitude for how people who give us the most difficult times in our lives give us the most important opportunities to grow. And this was true in my case because it had unfolded all sorts of strengths that I needed to have in my life to forgive myself, to not be engaged in that anger and that violence that he brought into my life, to let that go really completely and move on and have more strength and better judgment in future relationships.
Hmm. You know, thank you so much, Kathleen, for your call. Boy, we're hearing about some big hurts that happened here. It's remarkable, I think, it attests to the strength of our listeners that they are able to move beyond this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm grateful for folks that are willing to share, and I think this is a really good example of someone who has used used a very bad situation, a very hurtful situation, as an opportunity for growth, and that's a big part of what things like forgiveness really are. They're opportunities to take bad things that life has given you and in some way, shape, or form transform those things into greater strength within yourself and opportunities for future good. And it really sounds like it was taken as a learning experience.
Right.
Forgiveness is obvious here. Even to the point of, gratitude for the experience, for the strengthening that came from it. I might even argue that there was a sense of resilience that's developed and, a sense of confidence that you're able to handle these kinds of things in life.
Thanks, Kathleen, so much for your call. Sarah on our website, we'll get a response to this from our guest in a moment, says, I always tell my children not to say that's okay when someone apologized because what they did wasn't okay. They can say thank you for the apology and move on from there. We'll ask what Lauren Toussaint thinks about that. He's a professor of psychology at Luther College and has done a lot of research on the effects of forgiveness. Interesting calls coming in. Phone number is 800-486-8655. And John Munson is joining me in our studio. It's our year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Since last we talked, we're moving along here, John, and we've got a very important dollar. We've got an hour that has a dollar
it's been
for
a
dollar match.
It's been a long day,
we have one
Kathleen.
Of those hours, John. John will tell you all about it in a moment. I just want to tell you that we count on you to keep discussions going. Your gift is important. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Now, what's the haps, John?
Kathleen, we have a dollar for dollar match this hour, up to $2,000.
Ooh.
$2,000. is on the table. We have already raised almost $1,300, so that's doubled.
Excellent.
And we need another $710 to make that match, so make your gift the next one. This generous match is from current members, including Barb in Burnett, and it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
Thank you so much. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs that you love by giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we're passionate about bringing you 2 great hours of radio from 1 until 3 o'clock Monday through Thursday. And anybody who listens to Kathleen Dunn for even 5 minutes knows how passionate Kathleen is about providing these programs for you every day, Monday through Thursday. And she is not fooling around when she's on the air.
I'm not sure.
She's
right.
Passionate. And you know, but people respond to that.
Right.
And this is what we all feel this way at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Mm,
books,
we do.
History, sports, yep. Politics, social issues, education. We're here for you with important topics and, well, fun topics, too.
Yeah, we can't do it without each other, and we really can't do it without you and your support. Listener contributions make up 40% of our budget, and that's a lot.
Wow.
And it's why we are asking for your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So you might ask yourself, well, what can I do?
Yes.
Ha-ha, I've got that one.
What is it?
Maybe you're interested in playing a larger role as a Wisconsin Public Radio supporter. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners who contribute $100 a month or more to support WPR programs.
Leadership Circle members want to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio programming will be here today, tomorrow, and well into the future. If you'd like to increase your support to WPR, join the 9XM Leadership Circle today. Again, it's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we are commercial free. Well, that means we depend on other sources of funding, state, federal, corporate funding, all important, but there's another source that's very, very important.
The single largest piece of the budget pie comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of our funding. Make your pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I just like to hear issues really fleshed out and not just soundbited. It's a good mix of local and national issues that are debated intelligently. I think Wisconsin Public Radio is important because we, the public, need to have a source that we can go to that is unbiased, that will have guests on who will present both sides of an issue. We can call in as members of the public and ask questions and get responses that are thoughtful, and I think that's really important. It's important to be informed. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm with you, John. It's important to be informed. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on and to be informed at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. John Munson is here. We're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this year-end membership drive. Your pledge, $5 a month, $100 a month. We sure do appreciate and we count on your gift.
You tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio in part for smart conversations about compelling topics. You can count on hearing in-depth, thought-provoking discussions day in and day out. Because WPR is listener-supported public radio, your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps, and especially when someone's matching it dollar for dollar mm-hmm. like we have right now. You make these discussions possible.
And a big thank you to new members to Wisconsin
yes.
Public Radio. We've had four
Woo-hoo.
New members this hour, which is great. Thank you so much.
Oh, and if you've never given to public radio before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the strong, reliable station that you depend on. You get to decide the amount. It's all under your control. For example, how about $5 or $10 a month? Once you make that decision, then give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
As we look ahead to 2017, our 100th anniversary, isn't
wow.
that a remarkable thing? Isn't it, John, 100 years?
Yeah.
It's a great thing. And we're so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time, listeners provide our single largest source of funding. If you haven't given yet this year, now is the time. And if you have given this year, we appreciate your special year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, if you want to get in on the dollar-for-dollar match, the time is now to make a pledge.
Sure is.
Because we're closing in on $2,000 this hour. That's great. We still have a couple hundred dollars left to raise. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And it's a season of giving. Support the radio you love and do something extra. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. Give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, and sustainers, thank you so much. Why not make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
James from Butternut John says, I'm an avid listener, a veteran, and a community volunteer. I rely upon WPR. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, thank you, James. We love our listeners.
We
you
do.
Guys, you do. And you, know,
you rock.
You do rock. And everybody who's on the air, they all say you rock. It's just so, but maybe people don't tell you all often enough how much you're appreciated, and you're appreciated, John. And
well, you're
the listeners are probably, we're all appreciated, by golly. It's good.
I needed to bring a bigger hanky.
Oh, my. All right. We thank you so much for all of your support. And we're talking about forgiveness this hour of the program. Our guest, and we'll continue our conversation, is Lauren Toussaint, professor of psychology at Luther College, who's done a lot of research on the effects of forgiveness on physical and mental health. This is the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Foster Care Program, dedicated to helping thousands of Wisconsin foster kids connect with caring families. More about being a foster parent is at chw.org/TFC. Support also comes from the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, relying on community donations and volunteers to help neighbors in need with food, furniture, medicine, and other basic needs. Donation information is at svdpmadison.org.
Tomorrow during this hour, KP Whaley and Scotty Myers are really top-notch producers. Scotty found this for a show, and it should be great. In 2012, the Shabo brothers fled Syria as the country was just beginning a civil war. Today, their Christian faith keeps them strong as they worry about the friends and family they've left behind in Aleppo, a city that has largely turned to rubble. They'll talk about their journey to the U.S. and share how music has kept them together. And that will be tomorrow during this hour. It should be a fascinating show. What do you think, Professor Toussaint, about what Sarah said to tell her children if somebody apologizes, not to say that's okay, you should say thank you for the apology?
Yeah, I think it's good advice. The big thing we want to distinguish between with forgiveness is the process of trying to get past someone's hurt and moving on from that, and from condoning that hurt. And the, mm-hmm. the last thing we want to do is encourage people to say that, you know, wrongdoing is okay, and my, you know, being offended by you is something that's all right. We that's not the point. The point is to say, if you do get hurt, is there a way that you can replace the bad feelings you might have towards someone with some good feelings? Is there a way to do that? And that's the goal of forgiveness.
Dick in Menominee. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
All right, Dick. How are you?
I am great. It's a wonderful show. I appreciate all of the comments. I am a Luther College graduate, so I'm going to offer a perspective on the subject that is that of a 75-year-old. I'm thinking in terms of energy, psychic energy, and energy conservation, the wise stewardship of our psychic energy. It seems to me, Professor, that there's an inverse relationship between psychic energy expended and value returned. It takes a lot of energy, in my experience, to be angry, to be resentful, to be looking on the negative at all times. So when you talk about forgiveness, it seems to me that somewhat selfishly, forgiving frees up energy, psychic energy, for the more positive things in life. And I wonder if you can speak to that notion of psychic energy and the cost of being angry, carrying resentments, and being negative in your interactions with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great. It's really a great point to make, and I want to say thanks because I always enjoy hearing from our alumni, and so thanks for taking the time to call today. Let me say a couple things. This idea of energy and this notion of kind of freeing, the feeling of being freed from an encumbrance, which is really what revenge feels like. It feels like a weight that you carry around. In just the last couple of years, there was a really interesting research study that was done that asked people to estimate how steep an incline is that they were being asked to run up. And people that were more forgiving estimated that their task of running up this hill was going to be less challenging. They estimated the slope of that incline to be less than those who were less forgiving.
And
I think that kind of speaks to perspective and something that is being touched on here, the idea of psychic energy and having just the vibrancy in life to be able to take on some challenges that you might otherwise not feel up to. And forgiveness is kind of liberating in that way, because it really does take a lot of energy to hold on to those grievances and to remember all the reasons why you're offended by this person or this thing that happened. And certainly when you look at some other research that has been done by some of my colleagues, John Webb at East Tennessee State University and his colleague Jameson Hirsch there, they looked at the relationships between anger and suicidality and found that suicide essentially being what we might say is a complete absence in some ways, or the intention to commit suicide as being the complete absence of having any remote sense of psychic energy left. You're just exhausted by life and you can't see how continuing to live is even worth it. The relationships between anger and suicidality are exactly what you would expect them to be, that people that are more angry tend to be a little more suicidal. And in fact, what they found was that if you looked at how forgiveness influenced those relationships, you found that people who were more forgiving didn't have that same kind of relationship. In other words, forgiveness seemed to kind of protect them a little bit from the really dire effects of anger and the weight that it creates for people in their lives, leading them to, you know, feel this kind of ultimate sense of frustration and just wanting to end it all. So I think the point being made here is a really valuable one, and it underscores the value of forgiveness for our well-being, our quality of life, our spirituality. It's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple messages on Facebook. Marcus says, I have forgiven and now realize it was partly because I don't want to play the role of the victim. That's interesting. And Jan asks, how does forgiveness work if there's not one clear wrongdoer and one victim?
Oh, yeah, those are both really good questions. And the first, I think, is a common experience. People become exhausted by the fact that they feel, for lack of a better way of putting it, they feel handcuffed to the wrongdoing that has occurred to them, and they're being locked in the past. And I think it is sometimes the case that people just get exhausted by it. They're just tired of playing that victim role. And the great thing about forgiveness is it can really transform a victim's story to a hero's story. Because instead of lamenting how horribly wronged you were, you can begin to tell a story of triumph and success and strength, and you can really emphasize the fact that you've moved on and gotten beyond something, instead of being, as I said, handcuffed to this weight that's holding you back and holding you down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really an important thing that many people do face, is that at some point they just have to make a decision. And we sometimes have referred to that as decisional forgiveness. I'm tired of this role, and I'm gonna move into something else.
Mark in Cameron, our final call. Hi, Mark.
Hey there. First of all, I am a proud supporter of public radio.
Thanks, Mark.
I'm a pretty humble man. I give up some of my beer money, and it goes to you.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Now, I'm a firm believer that like draws unto like. If I'm angry with you, and if I'm bitter, if I'm mad, if I'm frustrated, my subconscious, all I hear is angry, bitter, vindictive, mad. And that's all I ever hear, and those words keep playing in my mind, and it draws into my life more angry, more bitter, more vindictive, more mad. If I let go, and I think to myself, but I have a good life, I'm a happy person, I have joy, those things are drawn into my life. You cannot be happy if you're focusing on negative energy, negative thoughts, negative words. Forgiveness is a sense of saying, I'm focusing on what's beautiful in the world. Let it go.
Let it go. Professor.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of the encouragement that we give often to people that are struggling with forgiveness issues, and that's that it really is, first and foremost, a choice about what you want to pay attention to. And often we kind of simplify it to an example like saying, you're holding the remote in life, and it's really your choice which station you decide you want to watch. And if you choose you want to, you know, tune into all the bad things that have happened to you and the reasons why you have been hurt and are in trouble, then that's, you know, kind of your decision. But other people might choose to watch a different channel and might enjoy many other benefits as a result. Mm. And so it is. It's a life choice that we all make, and it's something that leads me to suggest that I hope that maybe through something that folks have heard here today or other sources that they read or come into contact with, they choose to strive for a forgiving life, and that's you know, that's a goal that we might all have.
Yeah, and on that note, we'll say farewell to you. Thank you so much for being with us, Professor Lauren Toussaint, Associate Professor of Psychology at Luther College in Iowa, on forgiving. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we are here in Milwaukee asking for your support during our year-end membership drive. Join in and help us. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, Kathleen, I have great news to report. We made our match this
hour.
We had the 2,000. We not only made it, we exceeded it, and we had 21 pledges so far this hour. So we also made our hourly goal. So we're just success all over the place.
Wonderful.
Here. But don't let that stop you from making your pledge right now, because every pledge counts and every pledge is important.
Yes, absolutely. And you've been enjoying the conversation about forgiveness. It's an example of the fun, interesting, important, informative, substantial, and quirky conversations that we have on this show. So we ask you to give to us, please. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
WPR.org. 888-202-2552. It's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end pledge drive. John Munson with Kathleen Dunn asking for your support. Hey, you know what? Here's an idea. Maybe your WPR listening is worth $4 a day to you.
Yeah.
Well, why not become a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle? 9XM members are listeners who contribute $100 a month or more to support WPR programs. That's less than $4 a day.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And we ask you to, whatever path you choose, just to give to us during our year-end membership drive. John Munson is here. John is retiring pretty soon, but he promised me that he's going to come back and pledge with me during the next pledge drive. And what a wonderful voice you've been. I love it when you've been filling in for me here. People love you and your charm and your great sense of humor and your knowledge about so many issues. So, you know, come on back. Come on back, y'all.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Kathleen.
Yeah, thank you, John. Well, we'll miss you a lot. Well, back to pledging. It's your gift might be $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
800-202-2552. 800-202-2552. I'm saying that slow enough so you can write it down so you don't forget it. 800-202-2552, WPR.org. That's how you make your pledge. And you know what? It's a quick and easy process.
It is.
It only takes a moment to do. And remember, when you become a sustainer, you really simplify your donation. You'll make automatic monthly gifts from your bank account and credit card. And then, well, it just automatically renews each year. You don't even have to think about it. So pick an amount that works for you. How about $10 a month and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There's no doubt about it. We've covered an issue close to you. Mm-hmm. It might be health care. It's certainly politics, state issues, technology, the environment, Eleanor Roosevelt, all the presidents in U.S. history, except for a few we can never remember, sort of in the mid-18th century, other than Abraham Lincoln. We try to bring you shows that you'll find relevant and interesting and enjoyable, and we touch your life. So make a pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
The message here is to help pay for the programs that you rely on, and you have been very helpful this hour. We've raised over $2,400, and remember,
wonderful,
we had that $2,000 match, so it's over $4,400. 21 of you have made pledges, including 8 brand new members. That is absolutely awesome. Let's keep the momentum going. You can make your pledge right now to support programs you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much, John Munson, for
You're
all you
welcome.
Do and have done.
It's
and
my
thanks,
pleasure.
Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour, Zeb Gozman for on-air production, and Katie Madsen Cyrus for help on pledge. Thanks, everybody, for all your support.